if you're innovating, creating, or making a difference.
This show is for you. Welcome to Over Coffee. I'm Dot Cannon. Here on Over Coffee, we talk with artists and innovators about the process of changing the world in terms of what they do.
There's no special law just for podcasting. I think just because a lot of podcasters, they're new, they're just jumping in, they've heard something, they don't think things apply to them when they do.
Do you have a podcast or are you thinking about starting one? If so, what do you need to do to stay out of legal hot water? Entrepreneur, business law attorney, and author Shahara Wright is the founder of The CEO Effect, and she is both a business development strategist and the founder and main attorney of Texas-based The Wright Firm PLLC, which has been serving small businesses in the legal area since 2000. Shahara has also created a great resource for podcasters, her ebook, The How-To Guide for Keeping Your Podcast Legal. And just in time for International Podcast Day, here she is to address some of the legal issues facing podcasters. The following program is for informational purposes only and is not intended as legal advice. Please consult an attorney with any legal questions. Shahara, before we get to talking about the legalities of podcasting, how did you first know that practicing law was what you really wanted to do as your life's work?
Well, I decided I wanted to be a lawyer when I was 8, believe it or not. So when I was 8 years old, I kind of made the decision I wanted to be a lawyer. I didn't know what I was going to do, but that's really when I made the choice I wanted to be a lawyer. So everything I kind of did after that was really to the outcome of going to law school.
What happens at 8 years old to make you decide I want to be a lawyer? Was it somebody you really admired in your community or what?
No, my mom just felt like, you know, I like to argue. She said I was always arguing with her about everything. And she said, you know, I think I wanted to be a doctor. And she was like, no, you should be a lawyer because that's all you want to do is argue. And I thought, oh, yeah, that makes sense. And so I think it stuck with me. Yeah.
I love that. I have from your LinkedIn that you opened The Wright Firm in 2000, so 17 years and counting of being a business attorney at this point, if I have my information correct.
Yeah, that's correct. It's 17 years. It's hard to believe that it's been that long that I started my own practice. I have actually been licensed for nearly 20 years, but it's been a great ride, and I've enjoyed working with businesses and getting to learn from them about different things that I probably would have never thought about or even noticed had I not been working with these various different business owners. So for me, it's been not only fun in terms of helping these business owners, but it's been a really good learning experience for me as well.
How did podcasting first come on your radar as a new legal area?
Well, you know, I didn't think about it as a legal area, to be honest. I started doing some video casting or, you know, working with doing a lot of webinars. I did some Blab and I started this new CEO collaboration circle. And so as I was doing these things and having guests on, I realized there were a lot of different things that I needed to know. But because there isn't really a lot of information out there on doing these videos and information, legal information out there, I really had to go to podcasting. Not just on the legal side, but just how to do it, how to be better. So I started researching a lot of different things about podcasting, getting to know the industry a lot better, and it made me realize that podcasting really isn't different from any other business. There are similar legal issues just from any other business. I think because of the genre allows anybody to enter, that people forget that these things are important. And so it was just always been important for me that people that are entering into new areas still understand that there are things that still apply to them, even though they're small.
With the idea of forgetting what's important, what are some of the most common mistakes that you see podcasters make that could get them into some legal trouble?
It usually revolves around content. So I know a lot of times people think, well, I'm small, I only have so many listeners, you know, big businesses aren't really going to care, I'm not harming anybody, but they do care. And because big businesses, especially in the music industry and the movie industry, are very protective of their brands, very protective of their content, you have to really be careful about what you use and when you use and why you use it. So it usually revolves around content, utilizing music, maybe utilizing clips from movies and things like that, that podcasters seem to think is okay because they're small, and that's not really the case.
Shahara pointed out a pitfall that can easily trip up new podcasters.
With podcasting, it's not really anything different from anything else. I mean, there's no special law just for podcasting. All of these laws are the same throughout whatever you're doing. I think just because a lot of podcasters, they're new, they're just jumping in, they've heard something, they don't think things apply to them when they do.
I think we need to assume kind of that the laws are going to apply whether you make 15 cents or you make no money or you make a zillion dollars.
Exactly. Exactly. It's like, you know, people will be like, well, you know, I don't think it's a big deal. No, it is. I mean, it applies to you. And I think that these laws really aren't new. They've been here. And I think a lot of because people, the ease of getting into it, people are naive and they don't think these things apply to them. Or they maybe never even heard of them because what their background is doesn't make them come across this.
What, if at all, can podcasters do about using a movie clip or music that's copyrighted and or trademarked?
Well, the good thing is that there's a lot of information out there about where to go to get releases, especially if it's a small band or a small company or something like that that may not be connected with the bigger companies. And then there's also places you can go to get the licenses. You know, you pay for licensing. There's a bunch of companies out there that will allow you to do that through them. If you're using some podcasting, things like Blog Talk Radio or some other ones, they have ways for you to log into and connect to their licensing permissions. And they're usually kind of third parties, but you can do that. So there's all kinds of ways for you to get the license. You just need to know that you need to pay for it, which is where really people don't want to do, right? They don't want to pay for it because they're like, well, I'm not making any money, so I don't want to spend any money. But if you want to utilize this stuff, these copyrighted information, you need to pay for the license and make sure that you do that in a way that will protect your brand in the future.
Let's name a couple of places we could go to get licenses. Let's say that we do want, for example, to use the music of a new independent band. What are the steps of getting the permissions?
Well, if it's an independent band, they may or may not be connected like they need to be with some of the major companies. So really what you might want to do is contact the band themselves. You can get an agreement to say that, hey, I want to utilize your music for this particular purpose, and say, okay, you want to know that the band, number one, wrote the song, wrote the music. So if it's the lyrics, you want to know who wrote the lyrics. So it may be one or two members of the band. So you want to get the agreement about that. You also want to get the musics in terms of who has the copyright, who owns the copyright in terms of the music and the track. And then when they actually sing it and perform it and the sound that it has from there, who has the copyright from that. So with music, it has a lot of different parts with it. So if you're talking with somebody that's independent, that's not really hooked into something bigger, then you have to go to the individuals and get their permissions as well. And a written contract is the best way to go about doing that. If you are looking at a bigger, maybe well-known, something with a record label or some established artist, then one of the best places to go is the Harry Fox Agency. You can just Google Harry Fox Agency, and it has authorizes the use of songs, and it has ways for you to be able to get license information. You're paying a fee to be able to get the rights to utilize the music or the lyrics and things like that. So that will be the easiest way for you to do it and the quickest way.
And we should mention that you cover this in depth in the How-To Guide for Keeping Your Podcast Legal. I looked at that and I thought, whoa, there are about a zillion different things you have to do to use music in your podcast.
Yes, definitely. With music, it can be very complicated. The same thing with movies, because multiple owners are probably involved. And especially the bigger the artist and the more wider it is, then you probably have in various different parties who own certain things and own rights. And to the extent that maybe even artists, the people who actually wrote it, can't even make these decisions about their own music. So you have to definitely be careful. So utilizing the agencies, the methods in which they are able to get information out to you would be the best way.
Now, what's the flip side of this for copyright? You mentioned both copyright and trademarks for podcasters. What do we need to do to protect our own recorded content with copyright?
So doing a copyright is fairly easy, and it's also not just easy, but it's cheap. So for you to be able to register your copyright would really be able to allow you to protect your brand in a way that you may not have thought of before. So many people probably know that a copyright is there at the time something is created. So as soon as you finish recording, you will have this copyright of this episode, and it's there, and you don't have to register it. But another protection, a level of protection, is to register it with the U.S. Copyright Office. And with the U.S. Copyright Office, I think it's like $35, you can register it. And then people know that this episode belongs to you. This is what is yours. And if somebody tries to take it or utilize it, they are on notice that the copyright exists and that it was originally from you. And so what I usually suggest from people is you have several episodes, kind of package them. So depending upon how often you come out with them, maybe you do it every 6 months, every year, every quarter, but package them in a way so you're not having to do it per episode, because even though it's $35, it can get quite expensive if you're doing it per episode. So you want to package them in a way that makes sense. With trademarks, you know, that's a little bit different, but what I always tell people to do is first with podcasters, make sure that it's something that you want to do for the long term. The filing fees are $225 minimum, and that's a good amount of money to spend if you're not sure that this podcast is going to last. And I think I heard a statistics that, you know, many podcasters don't last past the first year, which is the same probably as any small business. So then if you know that is the case, then you may want to wait to do that. But the good thing about that is once you have your domain name, which is not something that can be trademarked, you want to check the name of your podcast, try to do things to protect it as much as possible until you make the decision to register it, which will give you much more protection.
That's an interesting statement that you make in your book, too, where you say with trademarks for a podcast that's a business, it's more of a question of when, not if. What do you mean by that?
Well, just like I was saying, you know, it's really a question of when you do it, because it's about timing, because, again, you don't want to expend this money. You know, people, when they decide they're going to do a podcast, they buy all this equipment. They have all these great ideas. You know, they maybe burn through 10 episodes. Maybe they get to 100 episodes. But then life happens. They stop. Maybe it's not making any money, and they feel like it's way too much work, and it's not something that they want to continue to do. And so they've expended all this money on equipment and everything like that, and it's not going to benefit them in the long run. So then if you've done a trademark as well, then you may see that that's money that's unnecessarily expended. So you might want to think about waiting till you've gotten to a certain mark to know whether or not you want to continue this before you go through the expense of trademarking. If, when I say it's not a matter of if, you should trademark. If you are really serious about what you're doing, going national, which really is what's going to happen when you publish your podcast, people that really know your brand, when you're talking about branding, trademarks are important because you want to protect that as much as possible, then you need to really do that. So when you're going to open up your podcast and broadcast it, trademark should be on top of your mind. The question is, when do you trademark? And when is it best for you to do that?
Tell me, please, about ownership, too. What if you're doing a podcast with a co-host? Who owns what?
Well, if you're doing a podcast with a co-host, if you think about it logically, you're both doing it, so that means you both own it. Unless you have something in writing that says something different, everybody owns the copyright who is participating in it, and therefore you both have the right to do whatever with the podcast episode. So no one has more rights than the other. So if you want to prevent your partner from utilizing episodes or doing something else with the episodes, you are going to have something in writing to prevent that to happen.
Let's look also at the rights implied in distribution of that podcast. You talk about two different licenses in your book, implied versus express. What does that mean?
Well, one of the things that you list about in terms of distribution is how does it get out, right? How do you get this information out? So one is implied, which means your actions will allow you to be distributed. It'll tell you, okay, because you put it out on iTunes, and of course I know iTunes makes you go through a contract, but let's just pretend that they didn't. If you go through the iTunes, then your actions have implied that you've allowed these people to distribute your podcast. So that's one thing. The actual would be the contract, the express license would be because when you sign up, you've given a contract and you signed and said, okay, I am going to allow iTunes to distribute my content and put things out. So that's really what that is. And again, a lot of these things, I think that if you step back and think about it, it will make sense. I know sometimes people will say, well, what about this or what about this? And I'm like, if you step back and think about why these things exist, then it will make sense to you about why you need to do the things you need to do to protect not only yourself, but other people's content as well.
What's one of your absolute favorite stories about a legal issue you've seen a podcaster deal with successfully, protecting his or her own rights and those of other people as well?
Well, I mean, I have to be honest, I can't name something specific with a podcaster. I think podcasting is still so new when it comes to the legal aspect. I know it, you know, it's been around more than 10 years, but you know, in the law, 10 years is like yesterday. So the law moves slowly. So I haven't seen anything necessarily particular with podcasting. But with these issues, copyright and trademark and distribution, all of these issues have been around for years, decades. And it stems really from the movie and music industry to protect themselves as well. And so if you see how movies and music industry have gone through the process of trying to protect themselves, then you understand why in podcasting, this new realm, why they're going to continue to do that. And so one of the things I think about for those of us who are old enough, some of you may be really, really young and don't remember Napster, but when Napster first came out, this was before, you know, Pandora and Spotify and all of those kinds of things. It was this music sharing. And people who had purchased their music would upload it and allow other people to download it and those kinds of things. It was a big suit from the music industry to prevent this from happening, and that's what created really these various different licenses about where you can copy, you know, get licenses to copy from the CDs, if you're downloading, what kind of rights you have from there. All of these different rights created from these different ways for people to use. So what I'm going to say about podcasting is get ready for more laws. Get ready for more things to create difficulty in you utilizing big businesses' information, their music, their movies, their books, whatever, because they're going to always continue to do things to protect as much of their money as they can.
When you say get ready for more laws, what do you see coming down the pike? What have you seen in about the last, let's say, year or so that's going to affect podcasters in the future legally?
Well, one of the big things is still a question. I think there's a couple of cases that may be in the pipeline is about what is a podcast a performance. So if you're not on the radio, obviously, so it's not live and it's not something that's happening right then and there. Usually these things are recorded. So if you're reperforming, you know, a book or a song, you may not be violating certain types of copyright laws, but you may be violating the performance side of a copyright law, right? Because there are people, the singers have the right to perform their own work, or the lyricist, the one who made the lyrics, or the one who made the music, they are the ones that have the right to perform their music, and they license that to whoever is actually doing it. So when you recreate that, there's a performance license there that you don't have. And so the question has still become whether or not podcasters will have the right, whether their actual podcast be considered a performance or not. So I think that's the next big question in terms of podcasting that will be coming down the pipe.
Is it a performance or not? And I also wonder, are we considered news or not? Because you get into in-depth pretty much news, fair use, what constitutes fair use in your book.
Well, absolutely. And I think it's not so much that whether or not the podcast itself is, you know, news-related, but that what you're talking about. So one podcast could be a fashion one, and it's, you know, talking about who wore what, and they're criticizing, you know, who wore something or didn't wear something. And then you can have something that's reporting upon politics and what somebody said. So all of these different things can work as a news agency. I think really how you utilize that and whether or not it's fair use, not that it's simple, but I think in terms of the context of the show, you can determine whether or not the use of it is fair or not. But I think in terms of what a podcast does and how they reach, it'll be interesting to see as more media outlets get involved in podcasting, because you're starting to see that happen a lot more, how they do things to protect their brand and how it will affect smaller podcasting, and will it start closing the door for independent people to come in and be a part of podcasting?
I sincerely hope not. What can we small independent people do about that?
There's much you can do about it, but I think it's kind of, if you look at it from the web point of view and you see how, even though the web is still kind of like the Wild Wild West, there's still rules and regulations. I mean, there's still people who are able to access and put out content and find various new ways to do things. And so I kind of like taking that whole Facebook idea, where Facebook kind of took the market on where people go and how they put the information out there. So while you can still go on Facebook, and now you have Facebook Live, you can, you know, put posts up, you can message people, they control how and where and when you do it. And so that's kind of what I see maybe happening, possibly happening more with podcasting, where it'd be fewer places that you can really go to reach people. Right now, iTunes is big, but there's a lot of other outlets for you to do it. There may be some more control, because a bigger company may take control over how these podcasts get out.
We'll be watching for that one. Before we have to wrap up, I would like to know, what are some of the legal issues that podcasters might be creating when they promote their podcasts on social media?
Well, again, you have to think about fair use and how you utilize information. So if you're taking a picture of, let's say, Beyonce, and you're putting a picture of Beyonce and then having a promotion about your particular podcast, you could be implying that Beyonce is promoting your podcasting, or she's affiliated somehow with your podcast. So you want to be careful about those kinds of things. If you're utilizing memes and things like that, you really want to see whether or not you're just putting the meme out there as just an informational, funny, something to make people laugh, or are you utilizing this meme to help promote your particular podcast. So everything that we discuss really comes down to how you use it. And that is what we talk about when we say fair use, is how you use it really becomes whether or not it is fair, meaning fair to the copyright holder. That's the whole concept of fair use. And that's what is important to understand about this whole concept. It can seem very convoluted, and it is. But it's also very simple when you think about protecting not only the copyright holder, the person who created the material, and the public who has a right, once the material is out there, to have access to it.
With the thought of that picture of Beyonce, if we take one, what do we as podcasters need to know about privacy versus publicity rights?
Well, as a famous person, a public figure, so to speak, there are certain things that they have rights to and don't have rights to. So because of free speech, you have a right to comment on Beyonce. You have a right to comment on her clothing and, you know, what you think about her and all those kinds of things. However, it has to be truthful. You can't just make up stories and say, you know, whatever you want to. That's something that you can't do. And you can't imply endorsement. So just like I was giving an example of a picture of her, you can't imply endorsement or that she has some affiliation with you when she actually does not. So those things are not acceptable. As to the everyday public, everybody has publicity rights. Everybody has rights about how their images are used and put out there, what you can use to promote them and all kinds of things. Different states have different rules and regulations. Some states have a lot of rules, like California and New York. Some have a few rules, and some have none. So it really depends on where you are. But it also, if you think about it, if you're putting your stuff out nationally, you could be violating a law in one state and not in another. So you have to definitely be careful.
Sounds like people could really use some links to a good lawyer here, and perhaps a how-to guide for keeping your podcast legal. What are your links?
Well, if you want to get information, you can, of course, go to my website, which is The CEO Effect. That's theceoeffect.net. That's somewhere you can go. You can go to my Facebook page, which is CEO Effect, that's CEOEFFECT. And then on Twitter, I'm at The CEO Effect, at The CEO Effect. So So those are the best places. And, of course, if you want to email me, you can email me at swright, S-W-R-I-G-H-T, at theceoeffect.net.
And you have this great book that I've referenced a couple of times. Can people buy this or get it from you when they email?
Yeah, just email me that you're interested, and I'll tell you how you can get it.
The How-To Guide for Keeping Your Podcast Legal is the title of the book. Final question, Shahara, and thank you for your time. If you could only tell people listening to this podcast one thing about innovation, creativity, and making a difference as an attorney or as a businesswoman, what would you tell them?
I always tell people to think ahead. Think about what things are going to be like in 5 years or 6 years, not just right now. If you're thinking ahead, you'll always be ready for the next thing. You'll be the most innovative because you're not thinking about what's going on right now. You're thinking about what people are going to need in the future.
Shahara, thank you for your time today.
Thank you for having me. I enjoyed it.
You and I have been listening to business law attorney, business strategist, author, and speaker Shahara Wright, owner and lead attorney of the Wright Firm PLLC. Shahara is also the founder of the CEO Effect LLC and the author of the book From Entrepreneur to CEO, How to Position Your Business to Accelerate Growth. If you'd like to know more about the legal issues involved in podcasting, you can reach Shahara at her website, theceoeffect.com. That's theceoeffect.com. And if you'd like to find out how to get a copy of her book, The How-To Guide for Keeping Your Podcast Legal, as Shahara says, you can email her, swright@theceoeffect.com. Once again, that's swright@theceoeffect.com. And don't forget to check out From Entrepreneur to CEO, Shahara's other book, because it is a great one. The preceding program was for informational purposes only and is not intended as legal advice. Please contact an attorney with any legal questions. And happy International Podcast Day. Have fun and keep podcasting. And that concludes this edition of Over Coffee. Thank you for listening. Subscribe to Over Coffee at twomavericks.com. That's two, T-W-O, Mavericks, M-A-V-E-R-I-X, twomavericks.com. And you can contact us at twomavericks@gmail.com. The music you're hearing is royalty-free production music provided by Pond5 at pond5.com. I'm Dot Cannon. Here's wishing you a cappuccino day.